Focus on the Family on AM 1230 KPRL and 99.3 FM is brought to you by Sculptera Winery and Sculpture Garden. The Frankel family and staff invite you to visit their beautiful world and taste their award-winning estate wine. Open daily 10 to 5 on Lanay Road in Paso Robles.
And I have to confess, I hardly ever taught about angels and spoke about angels because I was thinking my friends would say, oh, Gary, and are you waiting for the Easter Bunny to show up? I mean, kind of that thing.
This is Focus on the Family Minute with Gary Thomas.
But when I looked into how pervasive angels were throughout the Old Testament and the New Testament, it is shocking. Just about every major movement of God, the angels were active there. And then the New Testament saying that angels are still active today. And the way that changes our faith, what it does for me is it takes it from living a life of feeling alone and fearful to going on the offense. I'm not just playing defense. God's mighty messengers are there to help fight God's battles. This is a Christian privilege. People talk about everybody has a guardian angel. I'm not sure I'm buying that.
More from Gary today at FamilyMinute.org.
Focus on the Family on AM 1230 KPRL and 99.3 FM is brought to you by Sculptera Winery and Sculpture Garden. The Frankel family and staff invite you to visit their beautiful world and taste their award-winning estate wine. Open daily 10 to 5 on Lanay Road in Paso Robles. Attention kids of all ages. For great family entertainment, head to the Park Cinemas in Paso Robles with the latest releases as well as special features and showings. And if you're looking for a birthday gift or just a way to say thank you, gift certificates are available. For the movie hotline, call 227-2172. That's 227-2172 or online, parkcinemas.com. And as always, sit back, relax, and enjoy a movie or two.
Do you worry about where to take your car for repairs? Who you can trust? Mike and his team at the Autobahn are a safe bet. Located in Templeton, behind the donut shop, just off Main Street. They service Mercedes, BMWs, Volkswagens, Porsches, and Audis. And the Autobahn is certified in those cars and in repairing Land Rovers, Volvos, and Mini Coopers. Call the Autobahn, 434-2200.
Paul Harvey's The Rest of the Story, brought to you by Frontier Floors and Window Coverings at 830 21st Street in Paso Robles. Call 805-238-7878 or online at frontierfloors.net.
Now, The Rest of the Story. Charlie Zulrich is trying to avoid the news media, and that's understandable. Reporters routinely descend on lottery winners for every angle, for news, for features. So when Charlie bought that winning lottery ticket last January, everybody wanted to know what it felt like. Well, now Charlie's a nice guy, and he didn't mind answering questions for a while, but after a point he just had to say no more interviews, and there have been no more interviews. So what you're about to hear has been pieced together from newspaper articles at the time and from a nice chat with the folks at Ollie's Tavern. That is where it all began. Charlie Zulrich is a likable gentleman, lives in St. Louis with his wife, has a grown daughter. He also has some friends across the Mississippi River in Columbia, Illinois. Ollie Hook, the owner and proprietor of Ollie's Tavern, and Ollie's barmaid, Sue Zera, Z-E-R-A. Now, Charlie Zulrich has been buying lottery tickets from barmaid Sue ever since either can remember. But nobody at Ollie's will ever forget that Wednesday in January when Charlie came in and bought the big one. By mistake. Now, the mistake was not his, it was Sue Zera's. For when Charlie walked into Ollie's that morning, he requested 50 quick picks for Saturday's drawing. The barmaid by accident pushed the wrong button, producing lottery tickets for Wednesday instead. Well, Charlie looked at the tickets. He said, wait a minute, these aren't the ones that I wanted. And Sue glanced at the tickets, then back at the machine, and she realized her error and she apologized. Sue said that she was sorry, that she had run off the wrong tickets, but what did it matter? A chance was a chance. If Charlie were lucky, he'd be just as lucky with one day's tickets as with another's. But Charlie was adamant. He insisted he wanted tickets for Saturday's drawing, and he wanted none other. And Sue had pushed the wrong button. It had been her mistake, and she was going to have to make good. Well, that's when Suzera meekly informed her friend that once a lottery ticket has been issued, it cannot be canceled. Charlie was stuck with Sue's mistake. Well, now you see what's come of that slip of the finger. Among those lottery tickets that could not be canceled was the winning one. Now, at the outset of this visit, I told you that Charlie Zildrich is not talking to reporters anymore. And I'm just surmising this next. I'm just imagining that one reason could be the kidding that Charlie has been taking over these past few months. And under the circumstances, it would not be at all nice to make fun of him. For you see, when the barmaid at Ollie's Tavern tried to persuade Charlie to take those erroneously issued tickets, Charlie adamantly refused. Ultimately, refused. And that meant that the barmaid, Sue Zera, she had to pay for her own mistake. She had to buy those tickets for herself, which she did. They became hers. And because her finger accidentally hit the wrong button, Sue was left in legal possession of the lottery ticket worth $10 million. Now you know the rest of the story.
This hour of Sound Off on KPRL brought to you by Buy the Book Heating and Air, your local reliable heating and air expert. Call 805-423-5119.
238-5775. 238-KPRL. Sound Off continues on KPRL, the North County's number one choice for news, talk, and sports. This is Sound Off on The Right Choice, KPRL.
Welcome to Sound Off. My name is Karen Veely. I'm your host on Wednesday and Thursday afternoons. I'm also an investigative reporter for Cal Coast News. We've got a couple good stories up that have come out lately. First, I want you to know Tom Bordenaro, our county assessor, came out with the money that is coming into the county. Interesting, it went up, but not as much. This is tax revenue from property. And basically, Cal Coast News did a story on this. We're going to have Tom Bordenaro on the show later this month. He's going to go over the report. The numbers were down on the increase that it usually is. And where they get money is usually when properties change hands, because we have Prop 13. And so people can have property discounts, exemptions. But this year also, we had huge losses to nonprofits picking up major properties. For example, Templeton Hospital, Sierra Vista Hospital, they were major tax revenue sources for the county and for the city of San Luis. Gone, bought by a nonprofit, does not pay taxes. Then you have a giant condo development. I think it was like 200 units in San Luis Obispo. It was purchased by the Cal Poly Corporation, gone for tax revenue. So we had some major increases in exemptions. So this is money that does not go into infrastructure when nonprofits. And guess what? We're second in the state for the number of nonprofits per capita, and that does take away for money for infrastructure, money for police, money for fire, money for roads. But again, you can ask Tom Bordenaro. He'll be on the show this month. I also put up a story. As many of you know, years ago, back in around 15, I put out that there appeared to be some wrongdoing by Adam Hill and two developers, attorney John Belcher and Ryan Petetit Wright. Since then, Ryan's now in prison. Adam Hill committed suicide. And the State Bar of California came out and hit John Belcher with 12 counts. And this includes a scheme to defraud, moral turpitude, dishonesty. It is a huge story. You can read it on Cal Coast News. California Bar takes action against San Luis Obispo attorney. Or you can go to the Tribune, who the first half of their article is, well, he was going to retire anyway. Why would they go after him? And he says Karen's a liar. He's thinking of suing her again. And they made it actually in the beginning more about Karen's bad and John Belcher is good. It's kind of shocking because the bar spent almost a year investigating John Belcher. Multiple investigators and attorneys worked on this. And the beginning of their article is, but he's going to retire anyway. Let me tell you, he has said he's going to retire. Instead, he's filing lawsuits against people like myself who initially found out the corruption by going through the documents in their trash. I was the one that found out that there appeared to be bribery to Adam Hill. This was Cal Coast News. I believe this is retaliation, and I believe this is an attempt to ruin my reputation. And I do believe the Tribune is involved in it because they're looking at possibly being sold and being closed down and then sold, and it hurts them because I have a great amount of market share. And I do believe there is an attempt to put me out of business. But I think you should go read the story. Yeah, I would compare the two stories. Again, and also there are links that even the Tribune has a full report from the state. The Tribune starts by going, he had several charges. In no world is 12 several. There's no several that's 12. They start off by trying to make John Belcher look like a victim, in my opinion. But what we're going to be talking about today is a number of things going on with water. As you know, the water district wars have been going on in this county for a good 20 years. There's also, I have Greg Graywall. He has been working on this for decades. Greg Graywall, though, the main thing I wanted to start with talking about today, he looked into the grant money. And remember, grant money is your money. When you pay your taxes, then the taxes fund grant money for water districts and many other things. And then that is funneled down through our county into different things like San Simeon, the water districts. And there's a lot of trust that they'll do it correctly. And many of you know activist Julie Tacker. She was looking into some possible wrongdoing with San Simeon. And the first thing she did was order the reports on the grant money and found out, yes, they were given grant money. And yes, it was approved. And the county approved it. And then they said how they were spending it, but they didn't really look into how they were spending it. And Julie found out they were not following the rules. And they had to give back millions. And in the end, they were even prosecuted by the district attorney's office because grant monies were being used to pay consultants who were sometimes even consulting firms by the same guy that was getting the grant money. It was one of his consulting firms. You have a lot of issues where there's little oversight over grant money. With Donald, and this actually started before Donald Trump came in. There was some looking at misspending of grant money under Biden regarding homelessness. And right after Trump got in, Bill Saley took over the prosecutor office in Los Angeles, federal prosecutor office. He announced, we're almost done with a major investigation into fraud regarding grant money for homelessness. And there's, I think he said $300 or $400 million of misspent money. They've already arrested, I think, they've arrested two people regarding about $39 million of that. And a lot of this was tied to a group called Home Key. So it's grant money. It went through Home Key. And very often what happens then, so a project would have taken a private developer, you know, $5 million to do, but it goes through Home Key and all the consultants and all this, and suddenly the same project costs $20 million. Well, they're saying there's fraud involved, and a lot of this was going to people it shouldn't have gone to. There's going to be many more arrests coming down the pipeline in the near future. Meanwhile, you have Greg, who knows about what looks to be a lot of grant money being used by the water district, and he looked into it and found issues, and I'm going to have him explain to you what he looked into, what he found, and what is being done now. Thank you, Greg, very much for coming in today.
Thank you. Thank you for having me. I appreciate it very much. So, you know, when the county hired a person, it was Debbie Arnold was the one that we got this position created for the SGMA, the Sustainability Groundwater Management Act. And so the position was supposed to be to where it wasn't going to be interfered with other supervisors and stuff on managing what needed to be done that was approved by the state for the Paso Robles Basin. And the person who had it, his name's Blaine Reilly, got the job. And he got a grant right after he got there for $7.6 million. And that grant was signed in June of 2022. And there was three basic projects that the grant was supposed to function for: a blended water feasibility study, a state water feasibility study, and then a water feasibility study on the Salinas Dam. Well, the state water project, we had already done six studies. So they spent $300,000 with a consultant that was involved with some of those other past studies and gave them another $300,000. Then the blended water, they found out early on that the blended water they couldn't use because it has PFAS contamination, and they still spent $3.5 million putting in a pipe for the blended water project that goes from the waste facility at Paso Robles under the river up to the proposed spot where they were going to blend Nacimiento water with this wastewater. And then they can't complete it. And that project, without any cost for water, was going to be $100 to $120 million for 36 hookups. And they thought it'd be more convenient for the farmer to pay $100 and $120 million to grow grapes.
Isn't that the one they call the pipeline to nowhere that's going to go nowhere?
Yeah, it doesn't go anywhere right now, and there's nothing in it. And instead of continuing, let's say, Paso Robles' facility that cleans their Nasi water so they can use it, they're working on the waste facility because everything that Paso does use, they export. Because it's treated partially, it's dumped in the river, and it's sent to Monterey into the ocean. So there's no recharge, there is no reusing of the water that they use, regardless of where the water comes from.
And so they get grant money, and they're supposed to spend it on these three feasibility studies. What do you believe they spent the grant money on that is not approvable?
Well, when they did, we all know about this, they wanted to become a joint powers agreement, and they considered themselves the Paso Basin Water Authority, and they did a rate study for the 218 process, which was the vote that they thought there was no way they could lose. And there's an attorney that worked on that process, and there's a company called Land IQ that came up with the evaporation numbers to guesstimate on what the individuals that were farming on how they were going to base the fees on these guys. Now, those three things
They're not allowed, though, correct?
They're not allowed if it's a new board. So the uneligible project says the cost associated with the GSAs for another board formation that is responsible for implementing SGMA. They were not allowed to spend any money on forming a new board.
So you actually went in and found this and realized they're doing things with the money they weren't allowed to do. And I'm telling you, this is becoming a big deal in government right now. They are looking at these consultants. They're looking at what the money's spent. And I've seen people like Julie. She looked at one. I think about half the time it was wrongly done. So what did you do? You find this. You decide it doesn't look legit. Where did you go from there?
So I called the state agency with the Department of Water Resources that was the one that implemented the grant. And I'm waiting to hear back from them. I talked to them a little over, not quite 2 weeks ago. They're investigating right now who approved the extension on the grant, because the grant was extended here in April 9th of this year, because the grant was over in April, and they got it extended. And they can't even spend the rest of the money because they don't have enough time on any projects that are approvable. And so we've wasted, because we had this grant for 3 years. And so now they've wasted. One thing they finally did get in was some monitoring devices, which we identified 130 to 150 locations where the people that were having shallow well issues. And so we were supposed to engage and do increase the amount of wells being monitored so that we could see what the fluctuations were in the water levels.
And that was permitted.
Yes. And so
they did use some of the money correctly.
Yeah. So the one that I really wanted that I've been asking for 10 years was, why don't you go to the fire stations? We own the fire stations. We own the properties. There's six of them over the basin, I think. Well, I found out that the Meridian Fire Station on 46 East, they don't even have a well. They get water from the vineyard next to them. But the Crescent Fire Station, it has a well, and the water is 20 feet below the surface of the ground. And so how do we have a significant lowering of groundwater and claiming that we have a problem when the water is 20 feet down?
And I do want to go over that when we come back, that the water, even the Washington Post, we'll get back to that after we're done with the grant, but even the Washington Post has come out with, because of climate change, there's areas that are not having the water trouble they used to. But back to this grant. So some of the money was spent correctly. Some of it was not. You're working with the state to look into this.
Yeah, so you have two agencies. You have the Department of Water Resources, the DWR, and you have the State Water Control Board. And the State Water Control Board is another part of the arm that they're the ones that are more like the enforcer. The DWR is the one that looks at your plan and approves your plan and looks at that part of it. And if you're not doing something right, then the state comes in, the State Water Control Board.
We're going to be back with more with Greg Rywall. I'm going to ask him, how much money are we talking about? And we'll be back after a word from our sponsors.
This Fox Business News update on KPRL is brought to you by Stifel, your full-service wealth management firm since 1890. Stifel, located at 1337 Vine Street in Paso Robles. Call 805-238-3080. Stifel, 238-3080.
I'm Stuart Varney, and this is the Fox Business Report.
The major averages rebounding from Tuesday's tech tumble on artificial intelligence valuation concerns. Upbeat jobs data and a Supreme Court tariff hearing also boosting investor sentiment. The ADP employment report showed that U.S. private payrolls rebounded sharply in October, while the Institute for Supply Management reported services sector activity picked up. Most all of the 11 S&P 500 sectors were higher, with tech leading the charge. Shares of AI chipmaker Advanced Micro Devices rose over 2% after the NVIDIA rival reported third quarter earnings that topped analysts' expectations and provided a strong fourth quarter outlook. The Dow winners, Amgen, Caterpillar, and McDonald's. The Dow decliners, Home Depot, Sherwin-Williams, and Microsoft. The Dow rising 226 points, the Nasdaq higher by 151, S&P 500 up 25. That's your Fox Business Report. I'm Hillary Barsky, invested in you.
Rising debt, stock market swings, and global shocks can affect your retirement. But even in this economy, there's still opportunity. Protect your retirement with a secure, tax-advantaged gold IRA. Instead of leaving a 401k or IRA at the mercy of markets, hold physical gold or silver. Real protection for your future. And Noble Gold makes it simple. Visit NobleGoldInvestments.com and chat with a specialist. The conversation is free, and the peace of mind is priceless. NobleGoldInvestments.com. Past performance may not be indicative of future results. Investing in precious metals involves risk. Consult your financial advisor before making investment decisions.
This Fox Business News update on KPRL brought to you by Stifel, your full-service wealth management firm since 1890. Stifel, located at 1337 Vine Street in Paso Robles. Call 805-238-3080. Stifel, 238-3080.
When it comes to sustainable energy systems and service, Central Coast residents trust Solarponics. Marilyn from Templeton says, quote, Solarponics installed our system almost 20 years ago. There are occasions when your system needs to be serviced. With Solarponics, work is completed quickly with knowledge and skill. This is as important a part of a solar company as the original installation. Thank you, Marilyn, for your Google review. When we install a sustainable energy system, we're installing a lifetime of as important service. Don't just go solar, go Solarponics. Solarponics.com.
Attention Central Coast homeowners. Is your water heater over 7 years old? If so, replace it with a heat pump water heater before it fails and save thousands in energy costs. Plus, new rebates cover up to 80% of the cost. Call or click to get a free, no-hassle quote today. Don't just go solar, go Solarponics. Solarponics.com.
The Sound Off lines are open at 238-5775. 238-KPRL. The North County's listening to you on Sound Off.
Welcome back to Sound Off. My name is Karen Veely. My host today is Greg Graywall. And not my host, my guest today is Greg Graywall. I'm the host of Sound Off on Wednesday and Thursdays. And Greg, right now we're going to stay on the grants for a little bit longer. How much money are we talking that they may have spent on things they shouldn't have?
In the hundred thousands of range. So they spent $125,000 on the consultant that did the actual rate study. They spent $75,000 on the attorney that worked on it. It just happens to be the attorney for the county that's suing the quiet title people. And then they, and it's an outside attorney. It's not the county's, one of theirs. And then there's a company called Land IQ, and they came up with the numbers from the evaporation calculations that they manipulate to decide how much water each farmer was using and what they should be, what rate they should pay. And this is when they also decided.
But how much did they spend? How much did they
spend? That was about another $50,000. So altogether, at least $300,000 or $400,000.
And I'm telling you, I am seeing government being much more aggressive. Again, it actually started, some of this going after the grant money started under Biden. I'll give you another example. You had a bunch of nonprofits that started around the Black Lives Matter. You had the Diversity Coalition. You had Race Matters Slow. You had all these groups that started. And then Biden suddenly took a bunch of money and put it into energy projects. And he said, if you're doing things to make people's homes more energy efficient, this is an energy thing. We'll give it to nonprofits that are doing that. So suddenly all these groups were getting money for energy efficiency. And Capslo years ago really did some things that were a little untowardly, but they do a pretty good job for many years on the energy efficiency. So you're poor, you call them, they come in and they make sure they help you get an energy efficient water heater, that type of thing. So you have all these companies, these new nonprofits that are supposed to be about diversity, and most they've got millions. And I mean, when you put it all together, you have millions coming into this county for energy efficiency that was going to groups that don't do energy. And then they were giving it, so you give it to Diversity Coalition, and then they give some to, they keep some of it, and then they give it away to Black Lives, or Race Matters, and they buy 9 pipes for something. And it's not, when you're talking $700,000 and nothing gets done, and it was money for energy, there's a problem there. And then a bunch of the money was given to a group, and it rents. Well, remember the old rent to own? You could get a couch, and you'd pay 10 times what it was worth. This isn't even rent to own. This is rent to rent. And they will rent you an energy efficient water heater. You're going to end up paying way more than if you just bought it yourself. Because remember, the old idea was, we'll pay for most of that water heater, and you'll have an energy efficient. You buy a little bit of it, and there was ways to make this, or we'll come in and do this to make your water heater more energy efficient. These guys are rent to own forever. I mean, could you imagine paying for your water heater for 30 years?
Yeah.
You know, it's a, but again, we have government right now cracking down. And there's the big push right now is to go after this grant money.
Well, that's part of this was, you know, they had an agreement. It was called the Memorandum of Agreement between these agencies that were going to take care of the basin. They originally committed fraud on the original grant, which was a $1.5 million for matching funds to make the groundwater plan. And when I wrote about that to the state says, well, we're going to give them the money anyway. Even though they knew that the receipts that they were turning in, what they were claiming was not money that was spent on the basin. So how can, when you have no matching fund, how do you get a matching fund grant?
That also happened. And what Julie Tacker did, when she went after the money for San Simeon, they had matching fund grants. She literally then got hold of the matching funds and they went after their money too. Julie is, when Julie's on something, she's on it.
Yeah.
And what she would do is she'd get the one group to say, that was bad. Then she'd call the matching and then say, oh, if they say it's bad, we say it's bad, give it back.
Yeah. So all along this whole route for the last 10 years, anytime something was going to be done on the basin, they've gotten grant money. You go all the way back to 2009, we got grant money to do Assembly Bill 3030. Now, Assembly Bill 3030 was Sigma without teeth. And we agreed, at that time, the county agreed, so it was the city and the county together, and they took this money and they agreed that they would turn in numbers, they would monitor the basin, they would be in charge, they would do these same annual reports and all this same stuff that now they say somebody else needs to pay for. They took the money way back in 2009 to do all this stuff, and we didn't have any problem with the basin until 2014, right before the trial started in the quiet title. Magically overnight, we're an overdrafted basin because they had to prove in court that we were overdrafted to win the prescription they were trying to get against the landowners.
And for those that don't know the whole story how we got here, decades ago, you had the Resnicks got control of the Kern County water basin and were able to become some of the richest people in California by owning, you know, being able to sell the water to the people above them. The same people that did it in Kern County started eyeing our water basin. They have been trying for decades to get their hands on our water basin. And we were going through a number, you know, we're California. We have rainy times, we have drought times, and we have rainy times. Here's the interesting thing. Currently, the Washington Post just came out with an article. And they said because of the slight changes in temperature, the slightly hotter temperatures, the water, the average rainfall is no longer going to be the same. And there are certain areas because of these atmospheric rivers getting stuck above, it's just this little couple degrees are causing this. These areas are now going to have way more rain. We're getting more rain than we used to. We have water levels. We're having more trouble with flooding up in some parts of North County. There are roads that flood out every year now. There are times that you have, you know, water tables so high. I talked to someone in Santa Margarita. They had to put their septic tank above ground because there was no, it was right downtown Santa Margarita.
Yeah.
It was, I think, the attorney, what's her name, Sophie?
Treater.
They had to put the septic tank because the water levels were too high. So I don't even know with what they're saying that Washington Post had a map out of the whole world and areas now that are getting way, you know, they're getting more water and even flooding because of the changing water tables. This may not be the big money grab they thought it was going to be, because if we're not having water trouble, why are we even doing this?
Because water is valuable if you make it scarce. So first you have to create a problem to take it over. Once you take it over, you make it scarce. Now you make the money off of it. The people that are invested in water are doing it. Well, if you look at the Bay Area, at the Delta, everything north of the Delta flows south. Everything south of the Delta flows north. And all of our water comes out of the Eastern Sierras and into a band of land that's 450 miles long from Kern to Shasta. And that's 80 to 100 miles wide. and that's where the majority of the water is. Well, they need a certain amount of water that washes out the delta to keep the waste from the Bay Area. There's 50 towns and cities that dump their waste in the Sacramento River, and they have to keep it washed out.
I do articles regularly on our rainfall for the year and our the amount of water in our lakes. I do Santa Barbara County, I do Slo County, and then I do major water reservoirs throughout the state. I'm telling you, in the last probably 5 years, the amount of water is way more than it used to be. The amount of water in the lakes, because we have different, for example, you look at Oceano. They have Lopez Lake water. They have state water, and they have groundwater. They usually use the Lopez Lake water because that's where they're basic, and some of their state water because they're paying for it. But they have way more water than they need. They've always been water healthy. There's other areas that don't have as many sources of water. But right now, these lakes are staying very high. And meanwhile, you have a push by certain people to give more water to the fishes. And I'm going to talk about Lopez Lake. There's actually a lawsuit. The county's suing. There's environmental groups that say, wait a minute, there's some steelhead trout in there that the only difference basically between steelhead and rainbow is where they live. If you live in some salt water, you're actually called a steelhead. If you live only in a lake that has no salt water, you're a rainbow. But they do a count every couple years of all the rainbow in that thing. It's anywhere from 2 to about 5 fish. And they want to give a significant amount of the water down there, and they want to let out more. So even it can be pouring rain, and they're dropping water into the creek. There are people fighting this. There are lawsuits about how much water. But as we have more and more water, they're wanting to give more and more water to the fishes, which if we have more rain, you shouldn't have to give more water to the fishes.
Well, exactly. And so in North County, now for at least 76 years, because of the Army and the Army Corps of Engineers building the Salinas Reservoir, the city of San Luis couldn't grow. So they piggybacked with the Army Corps to get the water that's the recharge water for the Paso Basin. So they've been taking the water to South County from our watershed, and nobody seems to care if there's water in the Salinas River. Why is the Salinas River not important when the Salinas River recharges the basins and the people that live off of that? There's a live stream agreement. There's supposed to be a body of water that you can see from the Salinas Reservoir all the way to the convergence where Nacimiento River flows into the Salinas River. And what has the city of San Luis paid for taking our water? Why aren't they paying for the management if there's a problem up here, since they're the ones creating the problem?
And again, I think with the higher, I write about the lakes. There are times they used to get down to like 20%. I mean, we're starting years with them at 80%. It's like, wait a minute, we're not having the water issues. The lakes are way, I mean, they're way full. There's way more water in the lakes than generally this time of year.
Yeah. Well, and we have water. We have a lot of water that could be beneficially used. So the group that are the NACI Pipeline Group, I think there's 6 entities, they hardly use any of their water. Paso Robles has 6,488 acre-feet of water they can get from Nacimiento every single year, and they use about 1,100. The other 5,000 and something they waste because they can't store it. So why aren't they cleaning that and using that instead of pumping from the basin, whether it's the Atascadero Basin, the river, or the Paso Basin? Why aren't they using that? Because they're spending over they're spending over $4 million a year just in principal and interest, and they've already paid $72 million for their portion, and they got another 15 years of payments. But they're not using that water. So everybody's crying about, well, we need supplemental water. Well, you have it right there, and you're not using it. That water costs them about $3,000 an acre foot to use it, to clean it and use it, because people swim in it. And they have to treat it before they put it in their pipes. It costs about $300 an acre foot if you pump it from the ground and it's already clean.
There's a big difference in the water. I still think if we continue to even on years that are, you have El Ninos and La Ninas, even on the years that are supposed to be drier, we're getting more rain than we used to because these atmospheric rivers, they just stop and they pour.
Well, and you need, that's why you need the stormwater capture, because when the water comes, you need to be able, you look at the rivers and when they're barely moving, you just see the wet spot that's just down the center. It's not from bank to bank. If you make the water go from bank to bank before it moves further down, you're using the whole sponge to absorb it instead of just a little section.
We're going to take a break from our sponsors and be back with more with Greg Graywall. I'm going to give you, Greg's going to give you an update on what is going on with the water district wars and what is happening with the formed water district that many people were upset about.
Peak Painting, we get it. Hiring contractors can be frustrating. Missed calls, no callbacks, endless waiting for even a price. We do things different. You can book your quote right on the spot. And to top that off, you will have a detailed quote and price before we leave. Painting is easier with Peak.
Hi, I'm Seth Peak.
And I'm Ryan Peak.
And we're the Peak Brothers. From cabinet painting to interior painting.
Exterior painting, both residential and commercial.
We're your go-to family-owned and operated painting company serving all of Slo County. We look forward to working with you. To learn more and book your appointment, visit Peak Painting at peekpainting.com.
Listen to this real Paso Robles Glass customer where they installed 23 replacement Milgard Tuscany windows and two sliding doors.
Steve Eklund, Craig Smith as an architect and a proud and honored client of Paso Robles Glass. Hey, the boys are doing a great job. They just left. Everything is just fine. Extremely good crew. You got that crew is exceptional. They're all hardworking guys, very careful, very cautious. All is good. I think they have one more day tomorrow, wrap it up, the finished work. I'd like to set up a time to come up and see you next week. I've got a big, big project I'd like you to look at for me. Whatever works on your end, just wanted to let you know, Steve. Take care. Bye.
Get rid of your old broken windows and get new Milgard energy-efficient windows and doors with Milgard's ironclad lifetime warranty. This is Sunny from the Floral Parlor. Have you ever wondered why memorial flowers are chosen from a book? It seems so impersonal. Your loved one was one of a kind. Their celebration of life should be just as unique. Whether they were a rugged cowboy or a sweet grandma who loved tulips, we take the time to learn about their life and create floral designs that tell their story. Let the Floral Parlor create something special within your budget that adds value to their remembrance. The Floral Parlor in downtown Paso Robles. I think I heard you coming. Spirit of Paso Robles Restaurant has a wonderful atmosphere for all your friends and family. Spirit of Paso Robles in the River Oaks neighborhood is now serving weekly dinner specials like fried chicken on Wednesdays, Alaskan halibut Fridays, prime rib Saturday, and barbecue ribs on Sunday. Tell your friends and family to meet you at the new local favorite, the Spirit of Paso Robles Restaurant, located in the River Oaks neighborhood, right in the middle of the golf course.
Sound Off. My name is Karen Vila, your host on Wednesday and Thursday afternoons. Today I have Greg Graywall in. We're talking about, as many of you know, there was a push to privatize water and bank water. There was a number of water districts created, and in the past we had followed all the rules with California. The county was operating it. John Pashon and Debbie Arnold. We were Sigma qualified. And all of a sudden, they came out and said, you're not Sigma qualified. Bruce Gibson got control of the Board of Supervisors. They kicked Debbie and John off, and then started trying to privatize the water districts again. And a group of people, there was a lot of people that were supporting it, but all of a sudden they realized, wait a minute, this is really costly for us to do this. We're running out of money. The groups that are doing it don't have the money to do it as much right now. They're going to be running out, I think, in December. And now a lot of the members are saying, wait a minute, we want out. This isn't working. Give an update on what is going off, what's happened at the meetings, and when they're going to run out of money.
So they're funded through December. And then they have to, and we're not even going to have another meeting till December. So we don't know what they're going to do from funding from January 1st of 2026 to June of 2026. So they don't have anything in any budgets that I know about. Pastor Robles, I think I got a message before I got here. At their meeting last night, they said they don't have a problem, that they're funded and they can do it. Well, I want to know, do you have funding to pay for the money you misused from this grant? I'm kind of curious. Why didn't your attorney look at the grant agreement to find out that you couldn't spend it on what you spend it on? And the four individuals that decided that the joint powers agreement and calling yourself the Paso Basin Water Authority somehow was going to be better, and it was a new board because you would have more power and you would be able to tax people.
Who are those four people?
John Hammond, Bruce Gibson, Matt Turrentine, and now Hillary Graves. It was Jerry Ray, but he resigned because he basically told his members that when he was also a water board member for the EPC, which is the Estrella, El Pomar, Crest, and Water District, that they form themselves. So they have about 160 members. Only a few people show up at their meetings. But now they're figuring out, this is, if it wasn't for some of their members from the two, what I call make-believe water districts that don't deliver any water, they would have won the 218, but then they would have also taxed themselves and they'd be paying a whole lot more. So they paid it belong to these water districts that don't provide them with anything. They thought they were going to be covered as far as management. The city is an appropriator. So just so everybody knows, if you live over the land in the unincorporated area, you're an overlier. You have better rights, priority rights. If you're a city or a CSD or a county service area, you're also an appropriator and you have a water district in those areas. There's different rights for the water districts than there is for the people that live over the land. So if there's not enough water in the basin, then the people with the priority right, the overliers, they get first shot at using the water. The other agencies have to use their other sources. If there's extra water, what they call surplus, that's not being put to beneficial use, then everybody has an opportunity to take some of that extra water as long as they don't go over the max limit. And this was the deal, is like, okay, so what is the limit? Well, we've had six studies that show the limit is between 90,000 on the low end and 98,000 on the high end. And I'm talking thousands of acre feet of water that you can take out every year and not have a problem. So the average would be 94. In 2018, the court approved the study that said there was 92. So it's close enough. But all magically, the company that they hired, a consultant they hired that did the plan in 2016, did a model. Not a study. He just ran a model, and they put in the numbers they wanted. And they somehow are 20 to 30,000 less acre feet of water than what all the other studies say. Because it has to fit the situation. Because if you don't have a problem, you can't get grant money. No, here we are back at the grant money. Everything was, well, as long as we keep kicking this can down the road and making the state believe that we're making progress, we'll just keep getting money. Well, they don't have any more money to give. And they were always concerned with the what they called demand pumping reductions. Well, they were going to be targeted in the areas where there's problems. And that's why I brought up the Creston monitoring device that was just put in August at the Creston Fire Station. So now we have a monitoring device that I can look up on a website that tells me every day, and I can see what the water level is in Creston, and it's 20 feet below the ground. We don't have a water shortage problem in Creston. The average well depth, nobody goes below 400 feet. You go to El Pomar, it's 800 feet. You go to the Jardine Estrella area, it's 800 feet deep. They have issues in targeted areas. That's what the plan was supposed to do. Go to the targeted areas where the problems were and solve the problem in those areas, not the whole basin.
I like when they put them online, and I'm not going to mention who it is, but one of our reservoirs has been taken offline. I have to call. They answer me immediately. When I'm doing my story, I just say, you know, I call up and I say, can you tell me what the percentage is right now? Used to be online. It's been so good lately. I mean, it's like 80, 90%. But now they've taken it offline, which is just, it's weird. They are pushing, so you don't know how good things are unless you have the ability to check. And I love when they put it online.
Right. So with these different monitoring devices, which was the big push? So we had basically 10 to 12 projects in the groundwater plan. The ones they went with this grant money were all the conceptual projects that couldn't be built. The easy ones that were in the front are the ones they didn't choose, which was the low-hanging fruit, which wouldn't have cost very much, that you could have got done. So you had outreach, which Gibson, as the head person, has never had a GSA meeting since he's taken over at the county. So there is no outreach. And then best management practices. As the water district, as the county acting as the water district of the town of Shandon, they have state water available, 100 acre feet. And that's about what the town uses. They haven't used it in 8 years. So how do they have best management practices when the county doesn't use the state water they have available and Paso Robles doesn't use the Nasi water they have available, but they somehow are the best managers to have in charge of these groundwater sustainability agencies.
And do you think, are they just learning today that it's being looked at the way they spent the money?
Oh, I brought it up at the last meeting here we had a few weeks back, and I told them, I brought Paige, I said, hey, I got page 2 here of the grant agreement. There's 52 pages in the agreement, and it says right here what is not eligible to be for grant money to be used for. I wanted to know, how do you guys think you're going to pay this back? It's our money. It's not your money. Well, that's why they spent it, because it's other people's money. They don't spend their own money. And so I look at that and I'm going, I don't know if the district attorney can do something, because we're going to file multiple complaints with the DA's office, the State Water Control Board. They have a whistleblower line and a deal. The Department of Water Resources and anybody else that we can send these documents to show that this is unacceptable, that these people claim that they should be in charge and they know what they're doing, and they're misspending the taxpayers' dollars, and they're not producing anything. Not one thing has been produced since they got that grant money.
And who are the consultants? That's what I see. All this money going to consultants that makes projects way more expensive. And this is taxpayer money. And the biggest issue in that, we just had an election. The biggest issue, it wasn't abortion anymore. It is economy, economy, economy. And the public is having trouble paying their bills. We cannot just have runaway grant funding.
Yeah. Well, why should your fees keep going up on something when nothing is produced from it? And just like what you were talking about when Tom Boronato is going to come on sometime in the next few weeks, is every year they get a 2% increase on all the homes that are in the area because of Prop 13. Every property that sells gets a new base. So it can move up 6 to 8% on those individual places.
And the other thing is, you have to look at what area you're in. So if you're in Arroyo Grande, which is a lead, Arroyo Grande, I can't remember, it's something like 65% of the homes have exemptions for being a primary residence home. Then you go down to somewhere like Cambria, and it's like 22%, because most it's vacation homes and second homes. So those, they get way more, Pismo gets way more tax revenue on their homes because they don't get the exemption. A lot of them are valley people and people using them for rentals. They cannot claim the homeowner's exemption.
Yeah.
It is interesting when you look at how this impacts. I will tell you, Paso was number 2 in raising rates because of new construction and changing ownership. Paso did, SLO did the best, and Paso did second. But then again, SLO had the problem because they lost money due to nonprofits purchasing large businesses. I want to thank you for coming on today. That was the end of our show. Thank you for listening. I will have a man running for Congress, Smith, on the show tomorrow.
This hour of Sound Off was brought to you by Mid-State Precious Metals across the parking lot from the movie theater in Atascadero. Honest, veteran-owned. Buy or sell precious metals with integrity. Monday through Friday, 10 to 3.
AM 1230, KPRL, 99.3 FM, KPRL.com. Paso Robles, Atascadero, Templeton.